I'm Marissa.
And I'm Rachel.
And you're listening to the PTO Podcast. Okay, we are back with another episode of the PTO Podcast presented by One Country. And I am super excited to start us off with something.
Laid on us.
Okay, so I saw this on TikTok the other day and I thought it was the cutest idea ever.
Okay.
This girl was like, you know, my college or my high school group chats, like we touch base when big events happen or things like that, but just we don't know the mundane about each other. And so she started this thing called the Waffle Wednesday. And Okay. Everybody sends their Waffle Wednesday in video form, just short selfie, like, what do you have going this week? What's the mundane stuff? So
wait, okay.
Let's do a Waffle Wednesday right now, even though it's not Wednesday. So tell
Thursday.
Me what you have going on that's mundane. What happened?
Wait, what's our what can we name our Thursday? Waffle Wednesday. What's our tri-tip Thursday? I have no idea why that just
tri-tip
Thursday.
Okay, great. What's your tri-tip?
I cannot look at you and not laugh. So what is it exactly?
Let me go first.
Okay, what's your tri-tip Thursday?
So I would say, hey girls, not much going on here. Packing up for a wedding that I have in Pittsburgh this weekend. Going catering tasting for wedding stuff tonight.
Cute.
Decided on our invitations this week, which is true. And yeah, I would just like say
just like
what I have.
Catch up.
Yeah, what okay. You have going on. So like what have you got going on this week?
This week I've had to cancel all my shoots because I had a test for COVID every day because I'm sick, but I'm negative.
And you're sitting far enough away from me that it shouldn't matter, hopefully. But we'll find out in a few days.
That's my tri-tip Thursday.
Okay, so we will tip that again next time. But I think we should move on.
Okay.
Because that was a
little
rough.
Great intro. All right.
Okay,
so. Cute, though.
Yeah, cute stuff. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about you.
Oh.
I was just saying right before this episode, I feel like last episode, I was a little self-conscious. Because I felt like I was talking too much, so
no, but
I wanna...
we liked it.
Did we?
I liked it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
What do the viewers think at home? If anybody is watching this, I'm kidding. Anyways, I want to know more about what your day to day looks like.
Okay.
I know every day is probably so different with like,
yeah,
because you do graphic design, you do video shoots, you tour, like you do such a breadth of stuff. But like, give me a snapshot of a random day.
Okay.
Snapshot, no pun intended.
I actually just posted a video of a day in the life of because I had three shoots that day. And I usually only try to do one shoot a day because that's too much. But it was a day that I directed, which is already out now, a video by Ryan Hurd and Sasha Sloan called Sober. So we directed and shot that. It was a one take in a bar. It was so cool. I did that in one day. And then after that shoot, I ran over to Starstruck to shoot Carly Pierce because she was trying to get, she had like some brand deal with, I think Wrangler. So we shot her in a bunch of denim. And then, also that day I worked out in the morning. So it was just like, I worked out, I went shot, direct a video, shot Carly. And then there was one more shoot that I did that day. I can't remember what it was. I don't even remember,
wait,
but it was another shoot.
If you're directing a video,
yeah,
what is that? Tell me what that means.
Okay, so for that specific shoot, Ryan called me and was like, "Hey, I have this song coming out with Sasha Sloan. I want you to direct it." So that means I have to listen to the song, come up with the idea, get the idea approved by the artist, and then kind of go from there. Which is tough because sometimes I'm like, okay, well, what's the budget? Because if you have a $10,000 budget, we can only do so much under that compared to a $30,000 budget. So navigating budgets kind of come first. And then I'm like, okay, well, here's my idea based off your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with the concept. I storyboarded it, sent it to Ryan. He approved it. And it was a really easy shoot because actually went to this bar. You guys can look up the video, but we shoot in this bar, and in the middle of the bar was this massive pillar, and maybe someone would have looked at that like, oh shit, like how do we work around this pillar? But I actually was like, wait, we should do a one take. You guys should be on either side of the pillar, and it's like you don't know each other's there. Mm-hmm. And then we'll like swing the camera back and forth, and won't showcase the other person until like they're part of the song. So it's kind of like a surprise. So that video, if you look it up, was all like that whole idea that I originally had kind of got swiped the day, like 5 minutes being there. And I came up with a whole new idea and it turned into a one take. So it's actually really cool. But I'm essentially the one telling like the camera guy how I want it to look, lighting wise, vibe wise, where I want the camera angles to be. And then also like looking at the artist, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like you have to look at so many details as a director. Like if you're wearing a hair tie on your wrist, that's something you got to pay attention to with girls. Hair and makeup, wardrobe, you know, exactly how you want it to look. You have to like kind of be a slight OCD type of person, which I am, just to make sure like everything looks perfect. Cause if anything fails, it's on the director and they're in charge of like everybody on set.
And I noticed this cause you're my go-to creative director.
Thank you.
I love to hire you.
Thank you.
And we did a Stella Rosa promotional shoot with Kylie Morgan recently. And I remember, because like a lot of times we can work very lean, you know, and just like go somewhere and shoot photos or do whatever. But on this one, there was all these lighting people and you were like directing those people. Like, do you hire them?
Yeah. So I usually hire, my team of people that I trust and work with. So I had Will on there. He was doing all the lighting. He's somebody that I trust and work with a lot. So, yeah. It's fun as a director because you end up just being able to work with your friends but it is important, like the trust aspect, but then also like collaborating and not being a director there's some directors that are just like yelling at everyone mm-hmm. and stuff. Because like we said about touring, it's like I always try to be the director that directs, of course, the artist, lighting, whatever, but then you kind of have to like direct the vibe on set.
Totally.
It is so important. I know for Kylie Morgan, to like make sure the vibe on set is very chill. And like some people, like I feel like Maren Morris wants it also to be chill, but like kind of in and out. I want to be in and out.
Yep.
Most people want to be in and out. But like with Kylie, because I know her so well, it's kind of like, okay, I know how to deal with something on the side and then come back into Kylie, you know, doing her makeup and being like, okay, what up, girl? Like,
right.
Kind of have to have like multiple personalities.
It's funny that you say that because like, actually with Walker, the way I manage him during a shoot, because it's his least favorite thing, Walker Hayes, his least favorite thing is to do a content shoot.
Yeah.
But if I have a ball on site, like a football of some sort for the downtime, for whatever, all of a sudden, no big deal. Like if there's a guitar there, if it's close by, he can just pick up and noodle. He's good. Like he just needs to be occupied.
I'm like,
but
all
it's like
of a
you
sudden,
learn those certain little things.
All of a sudden we're going to make great mothers.
Truly.
I keep thinking, do we have children?
It is. We babysit grown
I'm like, wait.
Adults.
Yeah, I'm like, a director is a really big job. You are a babysitter.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you don't have a shoot on a day,
okay,
what does the day look like?
That's so funny. My dad asked me the other day, he's like, what are your hobbies? And I'm like, good question. I don't have any. If I'm not shooting, I'm most likely painting. As you know, I have this denim line called Electric Denim, where I paint custom denim jackets. And again, it's turned into like, well, I did a custom jacket for Carrie Underwood. And then Ray Lynn saw that vibe and was like, I want you to paint my guitar for tour. Then Kelsey Ballerini saw that. Then I painted her guitar. So Electric Denim has now broadened into like a bunch of custom stuff, but it is cool. When I get the opportunity, which is pretty rare, that I get to, you know, design those shoes for Jelly Roll that I did for CMAs and then also get to photograph it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun when the two worlds kind of come together. But other than that, I don't have any hobbies.
Like how often is it? Because so much of your work is our work is on weekends and nights.
PTO.
But it's not really, we're off, you know?
We're off, but we're being paid.
But how often do you have a free day?
Today was my free day, but we're here. we're on PTO. I try to give myself obviously like a 2-day off day, but what sucks and something that I'm trying to learn is to like have that boundary of that off day and like respect that for myself, because I'll have an off day and then, you know, like the Jelly Roll shoes came in on my off day and I was like, bring them on over, I'll do it right now. So I try to give myself 2 days. But I'm like weird. If I have an off day, I get paranoid and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not working today. What am I doing wrong? I must be failing at my job. Like that comes with anxiety and probably insecurity that I feel like as a freelancer, most of us have. But in reality, off days are healthy and could benefit you in the long run as far as like, okay, well, because I have this off day, I can now focus on tomorrow's shoot that mm-hmm. maybe I wouldn't have had time for if I had a shoot today.
Totally.
And then it, you can like, give more attention. You. Yeah. So, yeah. So I feel like that is a big struggle because I think that I'm scared to say no to clients, especially as a freelancer, because in my head, I'm like, if I say no to this client, they're not going to come back. And has that actually ever happened? No. Like I've said no and they always come back.
I was about to say, if I ask a photographer to shoot something and they can't because they just say that they're busy that day.
Yeah.
It's not like back. I discard them from the Rolodex.
Okay, that's actually really good for me to hear because I'm like,
no. If I like working with someone, I like working with them. Yeah. Like it's never going to go.
I think that in the past I've been like, I can't, but this person has, and then they start using that person and then I get like replaced. But at the end of the day, it's like there is work for everybody and it totally. Doesn't actually matter.
Enjoying this podcast? Get more exclusive content in the One Country app. Download today in the App Store.
And more work, I would venture to say, now than ever, because in the age that we're in right now with talent popping up, like we see it with the labels, right? Like they're signing everybody.
Right.
And it's because I would venture to say TikTok and people are, a song can pop up from there and then they get scooped up by a label of some sort or an industry entity of something. Yeah. So there's so much music being distributed right now that need videos, that need art, that need all
these
things.
Yeah, there's so much. And there's work for everybody. Like I've never felt like a competition in Nashville. Like if anything, I feel like it's so collaborative.
And if you recommend someone for a job, they're probably going to recommend you for a job that they can do, you know?
Yeah. It's like I feel like a lot of the photographers in this industry, like we're all friends and it's never, like it's very rare if I ever felt like I was competing against anyone. I'm throwing this person left and right gigs. They're throwing me gigs. That's something I really love about Nashville community. I think is really unique and rare.
So do you think this was therapeutic talking that out and now you'll take your two days off?
No, but I actually have an off day tomorrow.
Okay, great.
I did get asked to shoot Ash Nico this weekend for Bonnaroo and I did say no. And then I had a slight panic. I was like, that could be a really cool artist to shoot and out of country music and I should do it.
I was about to say, who is Ash Nico?
Oh, she sings this one song that I play when I snowboard. That's my one hobby, by the way.
You do go on epic snowboarding trips.
Yeah.
Check out her Insta, RKDeeb.
Yeah. Plug. I have a question. We kind of talked about this on the other episodes, but I don't think you really dove into like how you started to work with Gina from The Real Housewives. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I will say we're talking about hobbies. Bravo is my hobby.
And what is the show that you literally have applied for the last 10 years?
Oh, Big Brother. What I'm about to get into on the Gina front is...
You just barked up on the chair. Okay, what?
Well, because I didn't believe in manifesting.
Oh, you gotta manifest.
But holy crap. So now that we're talking about Big Brother, I'm manifesting that I'm going to be on Big Brother.
Wait, can I manifest something? I'm going to manifest that I'm going to shoot Lainey Wilson this year. Okay, I'm done.
I feel like that's very attainable. We can make that happen. Okay, I am certain. anyways, so manifesting in how I got hooked up with Gina was, so Bravo is my hobby. That's like, other than Big Brother, the only thing I watch. And Housewives is my kryptonite. And me and one Walker's nanny, essentially on the road, we love watching Bravo on the tour bus. It's like kind of our thing.
Love that.
And during the fancy like era, we were getting to meet all these insane people and attend these insane events and award shows and stuff like that. And me and Monica, the nanny, were talking about, well, when are we going to brush elbows with Real Housewives? Like, that's was our mecca. And so we were talking about it, and she was like, oh, well, we play this place that's near LA. Do you think any of the housewives are going to be there? And whatever, that fizzled out. A couple weeks later, I'm in Walker's DMs, and I see that a Real Housewife of Orange County had tagged him in a story. And I screenshot it and sent it to Monica, and I was like, oh, my God.
Wait, and what was it?
So it was Emily Simpson, and I think it was her – or I DM'd back as Walker, and I was like, oh shoot, I missed this. It was a story, so it went away after 24 hours. I said, oh shoot, missed this, because it went away. And she goes, oh, is my son dancing to Fancy Like We Love Your Music? And so I was like, okay, I can't let this conversation die.
Yeah.
And so I looked up Walker's tour schedule just to see if there was anything around. Wow. Just so happens, and you know how close because you're from the area, Walker's playing San Juan Capistrano, which is in the neighborhood of Orange County.
Yes.
And so as Walker, I invited Emily and her family out to the show. And she goes, my gosh, are you kidding? Like, we would love to attend. So I screenshot that to Monica, and I'm like, we're going to meet a housewife. And she goes,
I love using work for personal gain.
But, oh, yeah, totally.
You're like, thanks, Walker, for your DMs.
I mean, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
No. He's like, please name that.
Yeah.
So anyways, Monica was like, do you think she'll bring Gina with her? Because they're best friends on the show. And I was like, settle down. They're probably not best friends in real life. Whatever. And Emily, in the meantime, had passed me off to her manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coordinating with her. Manager comes back and says, would Emily be able to bring her best friend and co-star Gina to the show?
What?
And I'm right. Like, that was weird enough.
Yeah.
And so we're freaking out. And I actually wasn't going to be able to be at the show because ACMs were right before that in Vegas. And so I would have had to be on the West Coast for like 10 days. It just like wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was so bummed I was going to miss the opportunity, yada, yada. Well, Gina, day before the show, shamelessly DMs Walker and says, I'm coming to the show tomorrow. I'm so excited. I hate to do this, but my kids are actually big fans. Is there any way? And I have six of them. And Walker has six too. So I was like, oh, wait, this is like cute, whatever. So we hooked Gina up with the tickets. But since it was so last minute, I said, can you text my manager? She'll get it all sorted. Expecting her management to hit me up.
I get a text. Texted you
I remember
personally?
Sitting in my living room and I get a text. Hey, this is Gina Kirschneider. Can I loop you in on a thread with my boyfriend, Travis? Because I'm filming Reunion right now. Reunion is Super Bowl of Housewives.
Okay, I'm like, what is Reunion?
So the fact that she was texting me from the set of Reunion was like crazy. And I know Travis from the show. I'm like, oh my God, I'm texting Travis. So anyways, we worked that out. They go to the show. All the kids hit it off. The six and the six hit it off. Lainey and Gina become BFFs, all these things, right?
Love that.
And after that, the next day, Gina and Travis both sent me the sweetest. It wasn't just like a thank you, like whatever. It was like, these are memories that our family will have for a lifetime. Like, you went out of your way, blah, blah, blah. So sweet. A couple weeks later, Gina texts me and goes, hey, as a way to thank you, I'd love to invite you to Watch What Happens Live. Be my guest at Watch What Happens Live. Because I saw Walker's playing in New York. If you'll be there with him, come in a day early and be my guest. So me, Monica, and our tour manager, Brian, fly out early. And I remember sitting in the Delta Lounge and I told Brian, I said, Gina's going to come to the show the next night. I don't think she has management. So whatever you'd be running around doing on show day, let me do it so that she sees how hard I work. And
Brian's
and
then, like, go ahead.
And then she'll be inspired. And Brian was like, okay, yeah, all right. And so anyways, we get to New York. We're in her green room at Watch What Happens Live. And I shit you not, me and Brian are sitting on this couch. She's getting her glam done. In the first 10 minutes, she goes, so Marissa, she has this thick Long Island accent. She said, so Marissa, I did some stalking and I saw you manage. I can't even go on with it.
No,
I saw
you manage. Try.
Waka and Kylie. No, she's a
Waka
mobster.
Waka and Kylie. I sound
from Boston. Anyways.
Okay.
And she said, do you manage anyone else? And I said, I don't, but I'm actively looking to sign either a comedian or a public figure of some sort.
Or someone from The Real Housewives. Do you know anybody?
No, all I said was a comedian or a public figure. And she goes, you know, I don't have management. And I'm squeezing Brian's leg. I'm like, this can't be playing out. Like, maybe I'm delirious and exhausted. And what is happening? And I was like, play it cool. You'll be with her all night tonight. You'll be with her tomorrow night. So anyways, we just really hit it off. And we kind of made jokes about it the next day, but then when I got back to town, me and Connor were out for a beer celebrating my fiance, and I get a text, and I was like, I'll worry about it Monday. I'll figure out my next step. And while we were out celebrating, I get a text from her saying, hey, if you're really serious about exploring this, let's set up a Zoom this week and talk about what that could look like.
Wow.
And the rest was history. And like I'm so lucky that, because we've talked about management is so intimate. And I've been so fortunate with just freaking the best people.
You really do.
The most kind-hearted people. And like when I go out there, I stay at her house and I see her momming to these kids. And I see her as a real human and a friend and a girlfriend to Travis and a bonus mom to his kids. And it's like truly just the best people. So
what's like advice that you'd give someone who is trying to manage anybody?
I would say that the relationship has to come first. You are so ingrained in these people's lives that like there has to be some sort of connection. And I'll back up from there.
Yeah.
So, and this is a way that anybody that's ever had coffee with me and that's wanted to get into management has heard this because I always describe it this way.
Your networking hacks? Yeah.
No, not that.
Oh.
Management, think of management as a wagon wheel.
A wagon wheel.
Okay. You know how there's spokes in a wagon wheel?
Yeah.
They all go to the center.
Okay.
Okay, so in music, for instance, music management, all the
spokes.
You've
said this before, I can tell. This is like your...
Okay. My spiel.
Your spiel.
If you will. So one spoke is your agency. They bring you the show offers and route tours and whatever. Then you have your label. They are responsible
for... Wait, what is the... The first one is what?
Like an agency.
Okay, an agency.
Yeah, your agent. Your booking agent.
Your booking agent. Right? And what am I? I'm an artist?
I didn't get to you.
Oh.
You're kind of actually not on the wheel.
I'm trying to make this very basic so that I'm also understanding.
Okay, so your agency. Then you have your label. They are responsible for the recordings of your music, the music videos, also use them as the bank and radio and all these things.
They love and hate the label.
Love and hate the label. Then you might have an independent publicist. You might have a publisher. You'll have an attorney. You'll have all of these spokes.
Yeah.
The manager's job is to make sure that that wheel goes round.
Okay.
So you're communicating constantly with all of those people. And it gets so granular as to the merch people, right? Because you have to have a merch company and you have to have someone that you trust to design the merch and you have to hire a tour manager that then hires the road crew. Like,
my head's already like lit. What is, like, if I was someone who is wanting to manage an artist, what is like step one?
Is the artist
find the artist? Okay, step two.
Is the artist established or
no?
Developing?
Maybe they have developing. Like maybe they have a following on TikTok. Maybe they have like some vid, like house made vids on Instagram. And I find them, I discover them, and I want to like manage them. Is it now my responsibility to like pitch them to labels?
Personally, I wouldn't go to a label first. So I think. In order to manage someone, you have to really believe in them. And when you find someone and you really believe in them, what is their X factor? Mm-hmm. Like what sets them apart? And then I would want to really showcase what sets them apart. So maybe it is their touring. Like I think Parker McCollum actually like way back, not way that far, but like he was a huge touring act in Texas. That was his bread and butter before he really has taken over in the last few years on radio and more nationwide, but like touring was kind of his thing and he mastered that, got really good at that, and then kind of more went nationwide. That's just an example right off the top of my head, but like different people have different niches and then you find that and then amplify that.
Okay.
And then no one's path is the same. So the right team members will come at the right time. A label isn't for everyone. A major isn't for everyone. It has to be right timing. The deal has to make sense. There's so many factors that go into that.
Yeah.
But But yeah, I would overall say what draws you to that person, what makes that person unique, and how can you showcase that?
Okay. Do you ever feel like it's defeating sometimes if like the artist isn't like popping off right away?
Totally.
What's like something that you could give advice of, like, obviously patience, but
that's when you really have to believe in your artist and believe in their craft, because then you never stop flying that flag. Like pre-Fancy Like, I was working with Walker for 5 years, and our biggest hit before Fancy Like was a song called You Broke Up With Me that a lot of people might not even have heard of. It was the one that we would sing twice during the show. We'd run it back because it felt so good.
Let me remind you, I sang this song.
I remember loving when we didn't have to play that twice because I'm like, yes, we have something else.
Yeah.
But it never felt defeating because I believed in him and his music so much. And it felt like if we never got out of clubs and theater venues, it was okay because the people that were there, it meant something to them. Yeah. And seeing that would always recharge me no matter what. So I think if you're managing the right person, there's peaks and valleys, but you don't ever feel defeated. You found one thing or avenue that maybe didn't work or didn't work as quickly as you wanted or whatever, but you have to be persistent and keep knocking down doors and flying the flag.
Looking for more exclusive content from your favorite artists? Download the One Country app today and access podcasts, interviews, performances, and more. Available now in the App Store.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Why are you looking to manage someone?
No. I do manage someone. I manage a younger photographer.
I know. I work with her a lot. I love her.
I know. Yeah.
What does that mean for you?
So when I started managing, her name's Lily. She interned with me first, and then she graduated. And I think my goal at that time, and still is my goal, is to get more females on tour.
That's awesome.
I feel like confident when I say that I was one of the first females on country tours. And now I'm like, as a photographer, but now I look at Maren Morris's camp, and it's like mainly females. So that's really, really cool. So I think like over the couple of years, I feel like that was my goal. And so when Lily graduated, she was immediately on Ryan Hurd's tour.
That's awesome.
Which I feel great about. And now I have her with Carter Faith. She shot Spotify House with me. So I kind of like took her under my wing, and I basically just from the ground, like everything I've learned, I've told her, like, again, like just the, don't get too close to the artist, but be there. And, you know, all those dynamics of navigating that I've learned, I've basically have given to Lily, just the tools and just kind of like being there. She's really established herself now, especially this year. So I just kind of like stand back, let her do her thing. And I'm just a mentor now to her. So it's been really fun. But, yeah, I think that's been really cool, like doing that and just having just a little mini me under. Yeah. Like, she's great though. She's so impressive. But yeah.
I can't help but sit here and listen to you talk about, like, I know you've said before, like, you never stop and smell the roses and look around and like what you've done. But like sitting here listening to you talk about all of these names that you've shot and all these things that you've done, and now you have someone that you're mentoring and all of these things, like, you truly have covered so much ground from when you were working at like the tourism bureau when you got here, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. National Convention Visitors Corporation. You will never remember that one, but it's okay.
You ever hear from those people?
No, I should get. Butch Spearden is like the head of it, and he runs Nashville, but I need to give him a call. He's awesome.
Say, look at me now.
Yeah. I'm like, Butch, look what you did. Thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this was a fun, fun chat.
Yeah.
I'm excited to. I don't know what we're gonna talk
dive
about
more
next.
Into episode four.
What do you want to talk about? The world's your oyster
in episode four.
Yeah.
Ooh, I feel like I could cover more ground on like the behind the scenes of photography, because I feel like when you look at my Instagram, you're like, oh, that's sick, she shot Post Malone at the Ryman or Jessica Simpson in the recording studio, like that kind of stuff. But like, one, how do you get those gigs? Two, what does that look like from, you know, the behind the scenes of it? And like, it's not all, you know, glitz and glam. So yeah, I feel like we can kind of dive into that kind of stuff. Yeah, I feel like there is like so much more to cover. Like, I feel like if you look at my Instagram, you'll see like you know, I shot Post Malone at the Ryman or Jessica Simpson, Maren Morris, all these people. But I feel like if, you know, when I was first starting out, my question is like, how do you get those jobs? And I feel like that's important to dive into that and goal setting. And I like how we talked about manifesting, get more into that. But yeah, I'm excited to talk all about it next episode.
Great. Cannot wait to talk next week. And thank you all for joining us on our paid time off.
Experience the membership bringing together the biggest giveaways, exclusive content, and one-of-a-kind products from some of your favorite names in country music and Southern lifestyle. Download the One Country app today.